Good morning, Grace family. Well, I hope this morning finds you resting in God's grace. And even if it doesn't, then this is why we are journeying together through these Wednesday reflections. What we've been trying to do for over 5 months now, which is pretty crazy to say, is to use these brief moments to fix our minds on God and His goodness and His gospel. And we actually stepped back for 4 weeks to talk about the process of centering our lives around God. We talked about the practice of soul care, of intentionally tending to our souls. But now I want to return to God Himself and talk about all that He is for us in Christ. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the end of Romans chapter 8. And as many of you know, Romans 8 is one of the most profound and encouraging chapters in all of Scripture. And Paul concludes this amazing chapter with 4 rhetorical questions, which serve as this great exclamation point to the whole chapter. And what these rhetorical questions are intended to do is to leave us with this rock-solid assurance of our standing before God and this deep confidence as we move through our lives, no matter what our circumstances may be. So here are the 4 questions. Number 1, if God is for us, who can be against us? Number 2, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with His Son, graciously give us all things? Number 3, it is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? And then number 4, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So today, let's look at that first question. If God is for us, who can be against us? And within this question, there is this simple truth. God is for us. And I just want us to sit with this little word for today. God is for you. The all-powerful God of the universe is entirely and completely for you. And so as you move into your day, whatever burdens you're carrying, whatever responsibilities you have, or whatever hopes you have, know that He is for you today in and through it all. And Paul tells us what it means for God to be for us in the verses just before this. He says this, "And we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him." So to say He is for you means He is for your good. He wants nothing but your good. And He is constantly at work, Paul says, in all things to bring about good for you. And the good that He has in mind is ultimately described by Paul as you being conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus, meaning you becoming more and more like Jesus. So to say that God is for you means that He is constantly at work on your behalf, using every circumstance as part of this beautiful plan to shape you more and more into the image of His Son, Jesus. Everything in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is serving that beautiful plan. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, the answer is actually a lot. A lot can be against us. Our boss can be against us, or even our kids, or our spouse, or a neighbor, or a coworker, or our government, or our society at large, or disease, or sickness, or pain, or even spiritual powers. There's a lot that can be against us at any time. But Paul's point, of course, is this. None of those really matter, because none of those hold a candle to our all-powerful and all-loving God. And when it comes to whose purposes will win out in our lives, it isn't even close. The God who is for us wins every single time. 4. It is such a simple, but such a hopeful word. And I think it's an important word for us to hear because, of course, there lies in many of our hearts this sneaking suspicion that God is not for us, right? That He is somehow against us, that He doesn't love us or doesn't want good things for us. And this was the fatal lie the serpent spoke into Adam and Eve's hearts. God is not entirely for you. You can't trust His intentions for you. And when we believe that lie, our hearts move towards anxiety and towards control. We become afraid, we become insecure, and then we seek to control our circumstances to alleviate our fear, thinking that if we can guarantee certain circumstances, we'll be happy and secure. And so we move into the day with our own personal agendas trying to get certain outcomes as a way of feeling good about our lives. But the problem is it's a never-ending task. And of course, those perfect circumstances we long for are ever fleeting and ever changing. And so we need that little word for to sink in, to release us from fear and control, and to enable us to step into our days with faith and with hope and with joy. There's this great description of a righteous person in Psalm 112 that goes like this. He has no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Now, I don't think that's to say that bad news won't come. In fact, it inevitably will. It's just to say he doesn't fear it. Why? Because he knows that the eternal, all-powerful God is for him, is on his side in all things. So his heart is secure. And so as we move into this new day with this good news that God is for us, practically speaking, here's what I think that means. It means we do not need to fear bad news today. Because whatever news this day brings, our God will be at work in it, all of it, for our ultimate good. And so our hearts can be steadfast, trusting in the Lord who is for us. So let's go to him in prayer now. Father, whatever we carry into this day, would you, through your Spirit, remind us that you are for us today, that you have nothing but good intentions in whatever comes this day, that you can work in it all for our ultimate good, to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus. Lord, would you release our hearts from anxiety this morning? Would you release our hearts from a need to control our circumstances? Release them to you so that we might follow you and trust you with steadfast hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.